Nikki, I think you should do the intro for the 3-year.
Yes, I agree.
It's only right. It's only right.
I don't even remember how to do an intro.
So,
what's the song? What is it? That is
I don't know.
I was trying to sing the song or intro.
Get it, Talia.
Totally butchered that.
Welcome to Matter of Life and Debt. Today, I've got Talia and Shanna and me. And I haven't done an intro forever, so I forgot. Welcome to the podcast.
Happy 3 years.
3 years of this podcast. The creation of Nikki Nolan, the mastermind, the genius. We just want to thank you so much. We would not have met without the podcast. We would not have had the ability to sit through and listen to so many meaningful stories about people and their student debt. It's just it's been a great experience. The advocacy, the community.
Yeah.
I don't know, the educational piece. Like, I've learned so much from being a part of the podcast. Yeah. And I've heard guests say that they have learned a lot as well. And they felt more confident and comfortable talking about their student debt and sharing the highs and the lows. There's not a lot of highs, but there's a lot of lows when it comes to student debt. It's just nice to have community around that. So thank you so much, Nikki. We appreciate you.
Yeah. And also, you know, I think it's really important to say, Nikki, that you have a wonderful way of creating community. And I think for me, in my case, the burden of student debt has been a little bit less painful because I have this space to be able to talk through, to strategize, but also to connect and to laugh and to, and friendship and just plain old friendship. So thank you for that.
We love you.
We love you.
I love you.
Congratulations.
But to think I actually, Sarah Tebow, who is going to be in our spotlight, and I came in and hosted for our spotlight. Sarah, actually, what was interesting is I started trying to do this podcast in 2018, and I got so overwhelmed and I couldn't do it. And I actually did an interview with Sarah in 2018 that never saw the light of day because I was so depressed during that interview that it didn't, that there was no flow to it. Like, the whole time Sarah was just like, are you okay? So it never came out. So it actually, the idea started in like 2017, 2018, and then the first episode didn't come out until 2020. So it was like a very long birthing process.
Never knew that.
Yeah, but you know, I think everything has its special timing.
Yep.
Everything, if we let things flow at its own rhythm and not push things, it comes out exactly when it needs to.
Exactly.
Did you, you know, looking back at the trajectory of these 3 years, has Matter of Life and Debt been what you thought it could be?
Good question.
It's become so much more because, like, I thought that I was just going to interview individuals, you know, about their story. Like, I had like really ambitious dreams in 2018 where I was like, it's going to be like Serial and we're going to get to the bottom of this crime. Like, I was taking writing classes. I did a bunch of things to try. I was going to make this like a mystery, and we were going to have, you know, our key suspects and our victims. And I was going to go around interviewing people. We can still maybe do it one day, but it then turned into just make something. And so I just thought it was going to be interviews with individuals, and it has turned into this really lovely community and this amazing partnership with the Debt Collective. And just, I didn't realize what unprecedented, I don't know, the times we live in. And this is such a good documentation of what is happening. It's like a historical record of the experience of this moment. And this moment is so acute and so painful. And so it's become something that I didn't even imagine. It just happened naturally. And I love that both of you have come on as co-host. And I feel like both of you have added so much to the show. And I just want to thank you both so much from the bottom of my heart. How amazing you both are as like humans and also as co-hosts. You guys, you all are so good at hosting. You're both amazing at hosting. Like, would you have known that you two would have been amazing podcast hosts?
No, not at all. I remember when you suggested it and I was just thinking, what? No, I don't want to do this.
Same here.
So much fun. I was gonna say, like, just your ability to at least make me feel like I can do this has been amazing. And your support has been amazing.
And I remember, Sean, I just keep on talking over you.
Oh my gosh, no, we're family.
This is a great segue. I was invited as an editor, so I know how tough it is to edit those things when you talk over. That's why I stay like really mute. I was invited as an editor and that was hard. And I remember that I was asked to step in to co-host because one of you was sick or something like that, and to just go ahead and do it. And I don't know, I think I'm a performer. I'm an artist by, nature. And when you're presented with a challenge like that, I don't know where the oomph comes from. I really don't know where you get the courage. You just, I don't know, it's a challenge and you have to meet it. So I just took it like, okay, I'm on stage and I'm performing a monologue or whatever. But it was, I didn't think that I could, tell you the truth. I had this idea of what podcasts were behind the scenes and I was just, I don't know if I can. But I think with Nikki's blessing and yours, Shauna, I've been able to just find my own podcast voice.
I love that.
I love you both. Both of your energies just add such a unique flavor to the questions and the viewpoints. And I don't know, I just feel so privileged that I've gotten to work with both of you. I feel like you both have, I remember when I first initially was like, can you come on and help? And the hesitation, I'm like, the stakes are super low. Like, We will get through this together, I promise. Like, I will help you. I will answer questions. I will shadow you until you feel comfortable. I don't know if shadow you is the right thing. What that means, just follow you, right? I was like, what is the right word?
I think that's the right word. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, just looking at your faces. The only person I have to meet in person is Shauna. That's it.
I know. What the heck? Gotta make that happen.
Oh my god, the celebration thing came up again.
I was doing it on purpose. I'm like, here you go.
I don't know why.
Oh, wow. Envelope. Man, this is it.
For everybody that can't see actually what's happening, Talia has the new operating system, and every time she puts her fingers up, confetti and balloons appear.
I try to be serious and it just doesn't happen. I tried.
I was gonna ask a question, but the balloons like really were distracting. But it was pretty
fun. Who needs alcohol? You just need me to bust out my peace sign, and then we're all going in different directions with this freaking operating system.
Amazing.
Oh, I remember, like, you were just talking, and it's totally. I'm gonna go right out into like somewhere else. Oh, is there gonna be hearts?
Supposedly. Go ahead.
No, but like you were talking about how you were comparing yourself. You compared yourself to other people. And I think that's what's been so helpful about this podcast is realizing we're all in the same boat of crap, but it's hard to compare ourselves. We can empathize with each other, but I don't know how to explain it. It's just everybody's situation is so unique. And I even wrote about this in an article that I thought was coming out last month, but maybe it will come out this month. I don't know when it's going to come out. But like a lot of the times people, we see other people maybe paying off their loans or something happening. And we're like, why can't I do that? Why that comparison that's just so toxic and unhelpful. But yeah, I don't know where I was going with this. I do feel like this podcast has really helped destigmatize a lot of things.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I think too, seeing the headlines in the news and then actually talking to real people that are living real lives and experiencing it is it's like night and day sometimes, because you'll see these headlines are like student loan borrower XYZ, and it's like, no, we're not. Like, here's what it actually is like. So that's been really helpful too.
And I think I know what you were trying to say, Nikki. It's, we unfortunately live in a system that is that runs with these ideas of competition, and that also leads to ideas of comparing yourself to other people, and that sort of behavior really maintains you separate. Those feelings of they didn't and I didn't also foster feelings of jealousy, and then you start to also then feel feelings of shame and guilt, and again, all things that are tools, I should say, that are there to keep us separated. Mm-hmm. And what this podcast has done is that it offers people a space to enter in their, or with their, I should say, their own story, their story of resistance, their own story of survival, their own story of thriving, their own joy. And then in that, we start to see mirroring, if you will. It's easier for us to also see that in ourselves. Oh, hey, I also find joy in this. I also resist in this way. And so when we start to see that reflection, then it's easier for us to start weaving ourselves into each other reciprocally. And then that is community, right? So I think in podcasts mainly, but in this type of a podcast where we're interviewing people, we get to also interject or present, I should say, our own story as well, like weave our own story. I feel that what it does is that, again, it creates this very beautiful community around a very beautiful story that, yes, there's this wonder, there's very ugly burden over us, and we can pull through together. We can resist together. We can find joy together,
right?
Even though all of this shit is happening around us.
Right.
I think this podcast interrupts that dominant narrative of competition, mm-hmm. of comparing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think that was my goal, to make things more human. And I do find that when we absorb our information through like mainstream media and stuff like that, we lose humanity sometimes. And that's this brings us closer to humanity. And I really loved what you just said about it's there to divide us. And it at this time, not necessarily more than ever, but it feels like more than ever, we need to be in community and less separate. We need to, there are so many things that are predominant in the news, and the things that are happening in the world are there to divide us. And the more we can see each other as each other and human and with all our complexities, the more we can not feel so divided. We need not to be divided this moment. In this moment, we need to rise together, work together, and be more human and less polarized. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Agree 100%.
The more we sit with different versions of the human condition, meaning different stories of all the guests that we've had through here, I feel that allows us to really expand on what it means to be human and to just really sit and say, oh gosh, this one thing can look has many different facets. I think that is also another way that we push against the binary, which also keeps us so separate.
Yeah. I love that I love how you always call out the binary. Like, you and I were reading a book and you're like, this is too binary. And I think it's very important to always push prevailing narratives that are black and white thinking, because we do operate in I could talk from my experience. When I get stressed or overwhelmed, I get really binary, I get very black and white thinking, like, this is bad, this is good. And that comes from a place of scarcity and anxiety and stress. And I think what's interesting about our spotlight that's coming up soon is, like, Sarah has an interesting perspective because she's very spiritual, and she talks about things that are slightly different than, like, how we've talked about things. And she is really curious. She's super curious about what she owes spiritually. And also she's going through, her school went bankrupt. So she's trying to figure out like reality and spiritually. And she made an active decision. She was like the first person I talked to that was like, I have this debt, but I'm not going to let it ruin my life because I don't want it to have that power over me. And that was such an important message. Even like when I was like, the episode that didn't come out, maybe we'll release it, but it's really just me being like, oh my God, I can't sleep in 2018. And her really coming in and being like, I live in debt, but I have decided to choose life, which was something I still struggle with. I still struggle with that, even though, yeah, it's a hard thing to do. It's really hard. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. I definitely appreciate that message because I think before finding your podcast, I think that's something I struggled with too. I think actually we met at a time where I was just like, wait a minute. No, I have this debt, but I'm going to be living at the same time. I'm going to find a way to navigate it and make it work for me. But I had just gotten there. So then having listened to some of your episodes, I realized, oh, I'm not the only one that struggled with talking about it, with coming to terms with it, with navigating the system and finding repayment plans and figuring out how I was going to live and pay bills while also having these like huge payments. And for the time when she was saying those things, it really was a big deal that she was saying, I have this debt, but. And I actually went back and listened to a little bit of her first episode also. And it's just nice that she was able to get to that place and then share it with the community.
I also have to chime in on that because I feel that for me, in my case, especially that idea of the spiritual was really, I can feel it as well in my lived experience around debt. I remember that at the time when this whole idea of resisting against your debt became aware of it, I was going through my doctoral program and I was actually doing some healing work in Mexico. Shout out to mi Mexico, lindo y querido. I definitely feel like an adopted daughter of Mexico. And it was a healer that told me, don't let that debt define you. You're not going to pay it, she said. So just act like it doesn't exist. And I think that. That happened in 2017, I want to say 2018. And then to be here right now, I graduated in 2021. And so like to be here right now where I still haven't paid a cent on it, whether it's because I've been striking the debt or because I've been, what do you call it, just actively getting myself to zero for one way or another, I technically have not paid it. And so for me, when Sarah talked about the spiritual, in my case, and maybe because Sarah did a very cool thing where she acknowledged her position in the system and her privilege and whatnot, I'll do that presentation here by saying as a Caribbean woman, as a person of color, I feel that I have a particular engagement with debt and the way that it's affected my life or whatnot. For me, I don't separate it. It is the resistance, which is also spiritual. It's not one or the other. I guess it's very much in line with the adage, the feminist adage, that the political is personal, the personal is political. And in this case, the personal and the political is spiritual.
Yeah.
To get that step further.
Yeah.
So your spotlight was really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was very nice to see that conversation, which I think is really important because, again, like we were talking about, signaling and honoring each other's humanity, there is that component that doesn't necessarily get spoken about, the spiritual component.
It's so true.
Within these struggles.
And I was going to say something similar, that just echoing what you just said, I feel we all have such a different story, but we all came here together. What I'm trying to say is I feel like your spiritual journey is full resistance. Like you have decided you don't owe it. It's not a part of you. It was your relationship to it. And maybe I'm just like speaking out of turn, but tell me if I'm right. But I feel like spiritually you're like, this is bad and I'm not paying this. That's your spiritual journey is like, nope, and some other people's spiritual journey might be different. My personal belief is, like, it's all illegitimate. It's all terrible. And it should all be canceled, which I do say in the thing. Yeah. But yeah, in the spotlight.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm trying to figure out where it lands for me spiritually. And I think for me, the spiritual side of things is more about preserving my mental health and my sense of self and like my hopes for the future and optimism. So it's about that. I don't have any spiritual connection to, or even moral connection to, paying or not paying. And I think in America, oftentimes it comes down to this moral issue, but I don't think I have a sense of spirituality assigned to or connected to my debt. I'm sure if I really wanted to, I could say sure in terms of like right and wrong and good and bad. I'm sure there's some lines there. But yeah, I think it's just more about the future and maintaining a sense of optimism and how do I move past it and preserve myself. But I really do like that she touched on, you know, this idea of what does she actually owe the universe? And you can tell it's something that she decides for herself. It's not something that's imposed upon her by any government or any entity. And I think that is really beautiful. And it's a really nice way to gain power over the situation where otherwise sometimes we do feel very powerless. So that was beautiful, I think, for sure.
Oh, should we get into the spotlight section?
Let's do it.
Take a sip.
Oh, yeah. Cheers, and we'll be back after the spotlight section to talk about what is giving us joy.
Oh, yes.
We're just going to get into this. So yes. I can't believe it's been 3 years. It's been over 3 years since we talked. You were like the first batch of people. So this is our new spotlight section. So how we do this is we like to spotlight a person or a concept or a story, and we are bringing you back. And this is Sarah Thibault. She is an amazing artist and many other things. Writer, has a cool Substack that I subscribe to. And let's figure out what's been going on for you for the last 3 years. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my God. Thank you for having me. And oh my God. It's funny because we did our first interview even longer ago that didn't ever make it. And then our first interview, like years after that. And then now it's been like the weirdest 3 years of everyone's life.
That is so true. It's so funny how I'm just like, let's just talk about what happened in the last 3 years. And I'm not going to lie. I'm like, oh, yeah, a pandemic. I totally forgot.
Totally. I think because it's like having a child or something where the mom forgets the pain that she's gone through. It's as soon as we can forget all that, the better, because like very little good came out of those emotions. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was so traumatic. But last time we talked, you had formed this really interesting relationship to your debt, which was really unique from a lot of the other people, not letting it like consume you fully. And so I'm really curious, has your relationship changed to your debt in these last 3 years?
It's so interesting because I think since we talked, I'm trying to remember what year it was that we talked. Was I working or was I traveling by the time we talked?
So our first interview was 2018. And that was like, I was in such a bad headspace. And then I believe our next one was
2019, maybe.
No, 2020. Yeah,
it was
maybe.
Like,
it was 2020.
I would say I had a good like 10 years since grad school when we first talked, which meant that I had student loan debt and financial issues for about 20 years at that point, because I went to undergrad in Madison and then went to art school. And that kind of kicked off like 20 years of low-paying jobs when I got out. And then finally, I paid off my debt like before I started traveling in 2018 and had a nest egg. And then as I was traveling, it went away again. And so I think, because of having such a prolonged period of time where I have had so much debt, including the student debt, it might be that I don't even see it anymore. But I also felt if this is really going to be my whole life, potentially, I can't spend it being afraid of it and letting it control my life. And so I really made the decision to not let it do that anymore because it had limited my choices because I knew I had all these things. And I think, too, you know, around the time that I started being nomadic, we had more options in terms of repayment plans too. So I will say that the government probably made it a little bit easier to have less of an overhead on a regular basis. But I've been paying my private loans this whole time. And right now the payment's like about $400 a month. I'm actually on a lower payment plan just for 3 months because I'm like in between gigs and stuff. But yeah, I would say my relationship to the student loan debt has evolved in the sense that, you know, it's really, especially with this podcast and all the advocacy around it, it's opened my eyes how, yes, I agreed to it, but it wasn't necessarily a fair premise to begin with. And my school just went bankrupt in April. Now I'm wondering what the most, I want to say, spiritually aligned step is to take. What would make the most sense in terms of what is it that I owe the universe, you know? And I'm trying to do right by that rather than think about really punishing the US for being bastards or the loan companies who are criminals, whatever. But I feel like, okay, I did agree to pay a certain amount of money to go to art school. I have been paying it in good faith for 20 years now. What else do I owe? And what is it that they owe me for maybe presenting me with a situation that wasn't fair? You know, the amount of loans I took out to go to art school were predatory. And just because they told you they were doesn't necessarily mean it's more fair somehow, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess where I'm at right now is like, what are my options? I'm going to talk to a lawyer for like an hour, just like pro bono next week. I was hoping to talk to her before this call, but unfortunately she wasn't available. But yeah, so I guess I'm like more curious now. Okay, like how do I handle this? Because I don't necessarily think it's fair, but also I'm coming up on my like 20-year forgiveness pretty soon. So I hope that actually goes through because I had to consolidate with this new payment plan. And so I'm wondering like how they're tracking that. But yeah, I have a lot of questions.
So many people have questions. They yeah. are absolutely not handling this correctly. An article just came out about how the student loan servicers are charging people more, not being able to get in contact with them. Like, we are perpetuating the already predatory nature of charging for education by creating a system that is unjust. So it's interesting. But you were talking about your spiritual knowing, and in the last 3 years, 2 years ago, you have a podcast about spirituality and all those things.
Yeah,
and you are the only person that we've talked to so far who has this sort of spiritual undertoning. Not that other people don't have it, they just haven't talked about it on the podcast. So it's interesting. Can you go a little more into, if you're comfortable, what do you mean by like spiritually owe the universe? Because that's just like something we haven't really ever talked about on this podcast.
I've been really trying to take a high level approach to my finances. I think it's really easy to get really in your fear. And I also want to say that I have an extreme amount of privilege. I'm a white woman, white cis woman. I have parents who at times have been able to loan me money. And I've been able to get like white collar jobs pretty easily. I have a master's degree. So I just want to state all that I'm in a position where I'm able to take a step back and like actually look at my options in a calm way. And I'm not like taking care of children, or there's a lot of factors I don't have to deal with. But I think since I do feel like I have that space, I have really tried to take a high level view of my finances and think about money as a tool to do good for the universe and obviously to support myself. But I've tried taking jobs and doing things just for money, and it usually ends up backfiring. Like, it doesn't last, or I'm so miserable, like I can't keep going, or the outcome isn't what I wanted and I don't end up making as much money as I thought. So I just always, like, in the last like 10 years have really learned, okay, that strategy doesn't work. So how do I align myself more with like my values, and how can my debt be reflected in that too? And thinking about agreements and just making sure that I'm not trying to get out of something. But at the same time, I do think potentially there's this opportunity to advocate for like social justice around the loans. And so thinking about, oh, okay, I have these loans and a lot of people do. So if I feel like I have the privilege to talk about it, or to think about it in a different way, like maybe that can be helpful for other people. So I can't say that I've like really figured it out, but I just really think about what would it look like to solve this problem if there's abundance, and like how could this help other people to solve this problem in the way that I'm going to try to solve it? Is it something that other people could do too? And not just be this exceptional case where this middle class, upper middle class white lady has got that to work out for her.
Yeah. And you talked about how you're still in the beginning process of understanding, because you're in April, your school went bankrupt and doesn't really exist anymore. And
yeah,
we did have the borrower's defense and all that stuff. But you went to an art institute that doesn't fall potentially under, but maybe it does. I don't know. It's just like this confusing gray area for you. How are you handling that?
I think it took a second to have it sit in, because the school is the San Francisco Art Institute, which is not affiliated with the Art Institute chain. So for people who are involved in the AEI situation, that is not our situation as alumni of SFAI, which makes it a little bit more complicated because it's not as big of a class action. But I think they were trying to really keep this school alive for a long time, and it looked like it was going to get sold to a Jesuit school, UCSF, here in San Francisco. And so my thought around the loans was, are we going to owe, like, what's happening? You know, like, is this school still going to be around? And so now that they're fully bankrupt, it just doesn't sit right with me that, like, I would owe a school that no longer exists, I guess, even though I ended up, I guess now I owe the government. But it just doesn't sit right, because I was thinking about it. SFAI has a history of 200 years of being this really iconic, like, Northern California college. And the photography department was founded by Ansel Adams and stuff. And all these really amazing artists have been there. So when I was there, there were some financial challenges, but there was no sign that, like, they were going to close. Like, you don't go to a school with that much history and think, oh yeah, they'll probably close. And so I wonder what would have happened if, like, we went to a Harvard situation where it also has 200 years of history and charges about the same amount of money. Like, what if Harvard went bankrupt for some reason? And I feel like the people there would not keep paying their loans. And so I wonder if there's something about the fact that we're all artists, a lot of us are not in professions where we understand the world of law and, like, bankruptcy. Like, artists are just inherently not as good at that stuff. And so I just wonder, like, is the reason that this hasn't been a bigger thing because it's an art school and people are ill-equipped to deal with it? So that's just been on my mind. Like, what would have happened if this was a different type of school? And yeah, so I'm curious to see where it goes, and I am not going to just ignore it, which I think it'd be easy to just be like, oh, you know, I'll just deal with it. But I think there's something to be learned by going through this process. So that's where I'm at with it. Although the other part of me is like, this fucking sucks. I'm going to have these private loans probably regardless of what happens to the federal loans. And yeah.
Yeah, private loans are a whole nother beast of the experiences. Have you been able to make a dent on your loans in these last 3 years, or has it ballooned?
Yeah, I have made some headway in the private loans because I've just been paying them. So I think I owe about 50 and or maybe a little less. And then with the federal loans, partly because of the freeze, I have not really been paying towards it for most of that time. I did start using this app called ChangeEd and just throwing in $50 here and there just because I knew it's no interest and I had the money at the time. So I would do like the cash roundup thing where you make a purchase and they round up some money. And I just thought this feels like good faith effort to try and pay down my loans, whatever small amount. It just felt like a good energy to put into it, which it ended up being like maybe $50 a month. But right now I am like, my income's very low. So I just am paying like $2 to $10 a month on my loans. But I looked at my statement right before this and it said principal is at 160 and my interest would be about $63,000. So I think whatever the government does, changing the policy around the compounding interest and not having people owe interest feels more fair. If you are going to make people pay the principal balance, I just think the interest doesn't feel right to me. It's not like a bank. This is supposed to be a social service. And so how are you really helping people if you're charging them like $63,000 worth of interest over the course of, you know, 10 years or whatever? So
initially, loans had at Harvard were 0%. And
right.
In California and a lot of other places, like state schools were free. They didn't even have tuition. Mm-hmm. And so we know because of other countries and even the U.S. before they institutionalized tuition and all these costs, there was a way for us to educate the populace, which just doesn't seem like in the political will right now to do, with the banning of books, with the telling teachers what they can teach, like all the things that are happening in our culture right now. Doesn't feel like there's any goodwill by the government to educate people.
Well, it's so divided, but the fact that they got sued didn't remind me there was like a lawsuit stopping even a minimal amount of debt forgiveness.
Yeah. So Biden used the HEROES Act instead of using other methods that were recommended to him. And so that got turned down by SCOTUS, by the Supreme Court. And so it seems like the way that they're approaching this is a way for other people to turn down all the stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were able to get like all the PPP loans canceled, and they are able to fund wars right now. They say they have enough money to fund wars, but.
Oh, yeah. Their defense budget is like $1 trillion.
Yeah. So it's a very strange place to say we can't cancel student loans. We can't provide this relief to people and then say we can go to war. We can provide all of these loans to people during the pandemic and then just immediately cancel them as well. So mm-hmm. It's just like a really funky area around the morality of student loans. And that's really I am very like, let's cancel all the loans. Let's provide free college for people. And it's that feels the most just and moral for me.
Yeah, I am 100% behind that.
So we actually ended the last episode that you were on 3 years ago with, knowing all that you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's see here. I would say do a post back instead of another BFA at SFAI. I think it wasn't a bad thing to go to SFAI. I think I would have just done 1 year. And I would say don't take out the private loans. Obviously, I think I wouldn't have needed to maybe with that degree. And then I would just say, in terms of my career and the way that I've made money throughout the years, know my worth, know how good I am at stuff, because I think I really undervalued myself. And I think that's common when you're starting out, is to like take these jobs that don't pay enough. But I really was so perfectionist about the idea of doing a good job, like in a corporate setting, for example, that I worked like coffee shop jobs for many years after grad school, which obviously don't pay as much as working like an admin job for a while. And I think I really missed out on some financial stability by working these jobs that didn't value me. And then I ended up feeling resentful and stressed out because of money, and maybe even working in a different industry altogether. Like, I got the recommendation to work at a frame shop multiple times and I poo-pooed it. So I think aligning my interests and my worth with the actual day-to-day is something I wish I had done sooner. And I think when you do that, you're in a better place to tackle challenges like student loan debt, whether it be like setting up a better payment plan or who knows what. But yeah, I just feel like that kind of got in my way of making good decisions, because I was always really struggling financially. And yeah, so I would have been like, Sarah, I'd give you a big hug and just make it easier on yourself.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think when we can work towards, when we have the privilege or the space to work towards like calling in what aligns us better, we can show up better. It gives us more energy. It gives us like the things. And
we can be more generous to other people and help those who maybe don't have the same privilege. And that's something that I think when I run into like guilt around like, why do I get to be lucky, and like that, like survivor's guilt or something. And it's being in a good place means you can help others who aren't.
Yeah, I think Thich Nhat Hanh said something about if a boat is going down and you can remain calm, you can help more people. I totally butchered that, but
I get it. Yeah, I get it. I like that idea. Put the life vest on yourself, for example, first.
Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you would want to talk about before we go?
Yeah, actually, if people are, for some reason, San Francisco Art Institute alumni and are interested in pursuing some kind of like group effort to get our loans waived, or at least have some knowledge in bankruptcy and how that works. I did Google it and it says, oh, you know, just because your school went bankrupt doesn't mean that you don't have to pay. If anyone has a different opinion or more insight into the process, I would love to hear about it because I am trying to create like a WhatsApp group where me and other alumni look at what we can do. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Thank you so much. And where can people find you? What do you want to promote?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You can find me in a few different places online. So as Nikki mentioned, I have the Sidewoo podcast, which is, Nikki was actually one of my first guests also, and that was 2 years ago. So coming up on 2 years in November. And it's really about the intersection of mental health, metaphysical, spiritual topics, all through the lens of being like a creative person and thinking about how the creative journey kind of gets impacted by these different themes that come up for us. And I'm doing a live event in San Francisco on November 5th at the ICA San Francisco. But if you want to stay more in touch about all the things I have going on, you can follow me on my Substack, artdate.substack.com. And I have an Instagram, Sarah_Tebow.
Thank you so much for being here. And can you believe it's been 3 years? I don't know what happened.
My God. No. What? I mean, I think it's so impressive that you've been doing this for 3 years. And it's probably the most crucial time for this type of support and center of knowledge of Indian history. So it's really cool.
Yeah. And I typically don't do these interviews anymore. It just happened to end up this way. And so
I love it. It's so fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Just like we were talking about before the spotlight section, like Sarah has just such a unique relationship. And like the episode, it was episode 3, but they all came out at the same time. And her episode was called Don't Let the Debt Define You. And we'll link that in the show notes. And we'll also link her podcast and all of the things that we talked about. She just celebrated her 2-year anniversary of her podcast and I was on it. And she did a tarot reading for me about my potential move to Denver and staying. Yeah, so it's really fun. So we'll link all of the stuff she talked about in the show notes. And then, yeah, I think this has been so celebratory and so great. And I'm so excited you both are here with me. Why don't we talk about what is bringing us joy? Let's, Shanna, I'm going to just toss it to you. You were like smiling. And I was like, Shanna, also, if you don't want to go first, somebody else can.
I'm fine. Can I tell you? Okay, so last night, as you both know, I felt like crap. I really thought I had COVID earlier in the day. I took a COVID test. It came back negative. And I still, though, just like started just going down from there. Felt completely out of body, like sore throat. Like I was like a young child. I haven't had a sore throat in forever. And just felt really weak, lethargic, chills. You don't need to know a whole list of my symptoms. Just know that I was not feeling good. Okay. And so we talked about doing this and I was like, I'm totally down, but I don't know what kind of voice I'm going to have. And so to wake up and have felt so much better since last night, I don't know if it was my echinacea tea. I don't know if it was like my raw honey with the honeycomb. I don't know. I just feel so joyful that I don't feel like I did last night and that I can actually talk and be with you beautiful people. So that's going to be what's bringing me joy right now.
It was all of it.
It's all of it. All thing. I feel great. So I'm glad.
And we're so happy you're back because I know last episode you were traveling and we really missed you. But we're so happy you're back and we're so happy you're feeling better because, oh, it feels so terrible. When you are sick, it's just a...
I'm telling you. It's not good. So what's bringing you to joy?
My Tamagotchi is bringing me joy.
Yes.
Wait, how do you say it? I was like, Tamagotchi?
Listen. I pronounce everything with a Spanish accent. It just is what it is. I guess it's Tamagotchi. I don't know. I say Tamagotchi.
I like how white your accent got. Tamagotchi.
You know, we were going back and forth to Nikki and I because I say Shana's name wrong. It's Banana, Shanna. And then I'm like, maybe I should say like Anna. Like, I'll just do an accent, like a Southern accent. Shanna. And no, like really
I say Banana, Shanna. But my family, like, if you know, my Caribbean family, they say Shanna. But I don't Shanna, even say Shanna. So I'm so that's why I Shanna. It's more nasally. Banana.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I know I'm saying Shanna, which is the A is again, but right. And I remember thinking, I'm like, Banana, Anna, Shanna. I know, just, but that doesn't feel right. I'm just doing like an accent for a name, but that's just so know funny. I love you no matter what.
You do.
And, but I do have something actually that's bringing me a lot of joy. And I'm very proud to bring this up again. We, a couple episodes back, we did a spotlight on the theater troupe from the Debt Collectives. This time around, we are actually preparing for an art activism film festival that we want to present next year, in the summer of next year. We will link it here in the show notes. We have created a form to just see how many artists we have in the Debt Collective, if anybody has already a piece of art that they'd like to showcase around debt, or maybe create one for the festival, all that good stuff. You can fill out this form and give us that information. And if you really want to know more, there's going to be a meeting November 13th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll be sharing with people what we envisioned for the festival. But it'll be the first of its kind.
So cool.
Yeah, I'm really, really, really excited about that.
I love
we
that.
It's gonna be awesome. So
that's so great.
That's bringing me joy, along with celebrating 3 years of this podcast.
And that's what's giving me joy. It's also Emma, who used to be a part of the podcast, who got too busy to be. She is coming to visit me tomorrow. Sad she missed us, but she transitioned into a new job and it got just too much for her. But we miss her, we love her, and maybe she'll come back and produce something in the future. But yeah, so we're gonna ride a bike over the Golden Gate Bridge, which I've never done before.
Oh, I love that. You're gonna have so much fun. That's a lot of fun.
Okay. I've been nervous because it was raining here and I came in too hot through my kitchen and slipped on the tile and have a big black and blue mark on my toe. So I was like nervous about riding a bike, but I think it's going to be okay. I know. I'm very clumsy. I'm very, very clumsy. But yeah, so it's giving me joy that I'm going to see Emma this weekend, and then I'm going to Colorado to check out if I want to move there.
Very exciting. Things are happening and it's fall. I love it.
It's so fall. It's so fall. Like, it's got this crisp coldness. Even though I'm in California, like, the mornings are crisp and cold.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the leaves changing over here. Halloween is soon. I love it.
I can't wait for that. I am going to Jersey next week, and I'm just like, oh gosh, I get to feel some cold because here in
you're in Florida.
Hell, Florida.
That's so funny.
So hot. I have a birthday in December coming up too, so that gives me joy. I have to wait the whole damn year just to celebrate.
What day in December?
December 29th. So you're
a Sagittarius?
Capricorn.
No. You're a Capricorn.
She is not a Sagittarius.
No. I know. I'm sorry. I just know Sagittarius is December, and I mix them together.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I think Sagittarius goes until the 21st of December.
Does it? Yeah.
21st, 22nd, yeah. So I really have to wait till the end of the year for my
birthday. Holy moly. It's okay. It's coming up.
We'll celebrate it on our January episode because it's so close.
I like that. Fantastic.
As we're wrapping up, is there anything that we have not covered that we want to talk about?
I don't know.
There's always something.
I know.
Events?
Upcoming events. Let's go to the Debt Collective. I know that the Debt Collective just was involved with the canceling of a ton of debt. that was just announced. They
bought the debt from a predominantly, I think it's a black male college.
I think so, yeah.
An American college. And they bought the debt and they canceled it. That's how
Exactly. So coming up, I'm on the Debt Collective's website, which we'll link in the show notes. On the 2nd today, when this comes out, there is a New York City, a Philadelphia, and a Seattle debtors demand cancellation virtual meeting.
Ooh.
And then on the 8th, there's Georgia. On the 9th is Indianapolis. And then Talia's Theater Troupe meets on the 13th virtually at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, which we'll link to this Debt Collective's like events. And then there's a workshop. So many events. There's a workshop for Design for Good, Designing Visual Communication for Social Change, which is on the 16th. And then a new members call, which are always amazing, on November 27th. I just like read off the whole thing. I'm sorry. Usually we go back and forth, but for some reason I'm like, I'm just going to read this.
I don't have it in me right now anyway.
And just for clarification of the news, the debt cancellation news, it was a group of formerly historically black college and university students, Morehouse College. The Debt Collective cleared $10 million in student loans.
Amazing. So, amazing.
They're always doing such good work. And also, if you haven't, go and fill out the Debt Collective's tool for release. And yeah, I can't believe it's been 3 years. Oh my God.
Just like that.
And just like that. Thank you, everyone, for witnessing our friendship and our silliness and letting us be us. As we do little heart signs. There, they finally came out. You see them? Did you see the hearts?
I did see the hearts, yes.
That's so wild.
But also the community.
Thank you for listening and thank you for hanging out and interacting with us online. We appreciate you. What is happening?
Talia just went to a rock concert with her virtual background. This augmented reality is wild.
I love that in my life.
We're wild.
That's so funny.
Love you.
Love you all.
I love you all.
Oh, love you too.
I don't want this love fest to come to the end, but
I know.
All good things come to an end.
And then start again.
And then everything's a cycle.
There you go.
And we got this. Let's manifest. Yes. We got this.
We got this.
Yes. Until liberation comes for all of us.
Yes.
We are only free when everybody's free.
Ashe.
I love that.
If you like this episode of Matter of Life and Debt, subscribe and share it with a friend. It really helps people discover us. Matter of Life and Debt is co-hosted by Shanna Bennett, Thalia Mollet, and Nikki Nolan. It is produced by Thalia Mollet, Shanna Bennett, and Nikki Nolan. It is edited by Nikki Nolan. F.A. Ackman created the theme music. Visit our website at www.matteroflifeanddebt.com, where you can listen to more episodes and get additional context for the subjects you just heard about. Absolutely for free. The website again, www.matteroflifeanddebt.com. Thanks again for listening.